The Corinthian church of the first century was marked by rapid growth and rampant immaturity. Their immaturity was seen in their partisan spirit and factionalism. Members of the congregation were giving credit for their success to various human leaders and taking sides in the inevitable conflict that ensued. Paul gives them an illustration from horticulture, which Nathan read to us earlier. And the purpose of the illustration was to show how foolish such behavior is. In a garden, one person may plant a seed, and someone entirely different may water the seed. But neither can claim to have caused the growth of the seed. That is for God alone. The one who plants and the one who waters are on the same level. They're both servants of the same master. The Corinthians came to believe in Jesus Christ through the work of the Apostle Paul, who spoke about the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. They were also aided by a gifted teacher known as Apollos. But the Christians at Corinth were not to believe in these two figures as ends in themselves. Rather, they were to give their loyalty to God. Now, God uses human instruments to bring his message to others, but God alone brings the new life to those who hear and respond to that message. So Paul planted the seed when he shared the gospel with the people of Corinth. And when he left, Apollos came to Corinth, and he watered. That is, he discipled them. He taught them the basics of the Christian faith. So what Paul is saying, in effect, is, although I planted the seed and Apollos watered, it is the Lord who made the fruit grow. The Corinthian church of the first century had a deep need to acknowledge the goodness and power of God. God had richly blessed them, and they needed to give credit where credit was due. It wasn't to acclaim their favorite minister. It wasn't time to break into haughty factions. It was time to credit God for all that God had done. The 18th century was another time when Christians needed to give credit for God's work and power in causing growth. Spiritual renewal spread throughout the American colonies in no small measure due to Presbyterian Christians. The witness began with the pilgrims from the Mayflower and was greatly advanced by missionaries such as Francis McKemmie and Samuel Davies. Presbyterianism became so prevalent in early America that the British referred to the American Revolution as that Presbyterian revolt. Several of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were Presbyterian, including the Reverend John Witherspoon, the only member of the clergy of any denomination to sign the Declaration of Independence. By 1789, there were over 400 thriving congregations. On May 21st of that year, a meeting was called in Philadelphia to help organize the growth and to ensure faithfulness to the gospel. The ministers who gathered were brimming with pride over their successes. In just such an atmosphere, an elderly, gray-haired man with poor vision got up in the pulpit. It was the Reverend John Witherspoon, the same Scottish-American minister who 13 years earlier and just two blocks down the street had been a signatory to a document that gave birth to a new nation. So Witherspoon called the meeting to order. And then he read from the King James Bible. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. This is just what the assembly needed to hear. It brought them down to earth. It reminded them that it was not their skills, nor their labors, nor their financial contributions that gave life to the church. Now, God can and does use such things, but the real life of a church and the real life of each and every believer comes from God alone. The generosity of our spiritual ancestors contributed to the establishment of First Presbyterian Church and this house of worship in which we now gather. Over the years, and even to the present day, many persons have contributed their time, talent, and treasure to support the ministry and mission of this church. Many have labored to make sure seeds are planted and that those same seeds are watered. But let us be clear as to who is ultimately responsible for the spiritual growth and nurture of the souls who have come to this place. For the outgrowth of generosity is not meant to be pride or stubbornness, but a humble and grateful spirit that seeks to glorify God and enjoy God forever.